This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope, the audio broadcast ministry of Pastor Rick Warren. Today we continue in our series called Trusting God's Timing in Your Life. In these lessons, we'll dive into the Bible and see how God had a critical timetable for Christmas. And we'll learn how being in step with God's timing today is essential for your success in life. Now, we're excited to let you know that a very generous couple has stepped forward with a special $100,000 December matching grant. That means any gift you give now will be doubled up to $100,000. But the grant expires at midnight at the end of this month, so please contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com and have your financial gift matched up to $100,000. That's PastorRick.com. And if you want, you can just text the word DAILY to 800-600-5004 for more information. Now, here's Pastor Rick Warren with part one of a special Christmas message called The Rest of the Story.
Now, Christmas actually happens. The birth of Jesus Christ happens in the middle of a love story. And actually, to start at Christmas is like starting to read a novel in the middle. You're not going to understand the significance. To understand Christmas, you have to know the rest of the story. So take your message notes, and this Christmas morning, I want you to understand that history, all of history, is God's love story. And like all great plays and all great stories, there are multiple acts. Act one, act two, act three, act four. You know, in a typical story, a romance, boy meets girl, boy falls in love, boy loses girl, boy wins girl back. Well, right now in human history, we're in act four of the story. We're in act four. But I want us to go back this morning and look at the beginning. Now, the first book in the Bible is called Genesis, and it tells us why God made the whole universe. There on your message notes, Genesis 2, verse chapter 2, verse 4 says this. This is the story of how it all started, of heaven and earth, and when they were created. Now, we start with Act 1. Write this down. God made us to love us. The Bible tells us that God is love. It is his nature. It is his essence and who he is. The only reason there's love in the universe is because God, the creator, is a God of love. And the Bible says that everything that was created in the entire universe was created simply out of God's love. He loved to create it and he wanted to love it. And everything beautiful is an expression of God's love. When you look at sunsets, when you look at rainbows, when you look at flowers, when you look at beautiful trees, rivers and lakes and snow and the surf, all these things are evidences of God's love, and the beauty that he shows is an evidence of his love. Now, the biggest fact of all is that you were created to be loved by God. The only reason you're alive is God wanted to love you. If God had not wanted to love you, you would not be sitting there where you are right now, breathing and your heart beating. The Bible says in Ephesians, the book of Ephesians chapter 1, verse 4, long before he laid down earth's foundations, God had us in mind and settled on us as the focus of his love. Do you understand what that verse says? It says God thought of you before he thought of the universe. That before he created the entire universe, he created the universe so he could create this galaxy, so he could create this planet, so it could sustain human life, so he could create the human race, so he could create you, so he could love you. That's how important you are. The Bible says in Psalm 145, verses 9 and 10, the Lord is good to everyone. He showers compassion on all his creation. All living things will thank you, Lord. See, God doesn't love just some of his creation. If he created it, he loved it. If he created you, and he did, it means he loves you. Now, how does God show his love to you? Well, he shows his love to you in thousands of ways. This morning, just one of the ways you may have never considered is this, because I could give you hundreds of them. God shows his love for you by giving you the capacity to enjoy pleasure. Have you ever realized that God gave you your five senses because he loves you? He gave you eyes, and then he filled the world with color. God could have made the world colorless and made your eyes unable to see color, but he created love. And he created color, and then gave you the eyes to enjoy the beautiful colors in the world. He gave you ears, and then he filled the world with wonderful sounds, like music. What kind of music do you like to enjoy? Well, if I went around the room, everybody'd have a different answer to that. But did you know that all the kinds of music are from God? You don't like every kind of music. I don't like every kind of music, but God does, because he gave us the ability to create music. And he gave us eyes to see color and ears to hear beautiful sounds. And then he gave us taste buds. Think of your favorite food, okay? God gave you taste buds, and then he filled the world with flavors like cinnamon rolls and salsa and homemade ice cream and barbecue. God did not create fruitcake. That's of the devil. I just want you to know that. But all those other great flavors are come from God because he loves you. God could have made your body to run on one fuel like cars. God could have said all human beings will need is oatmeal. But instead, he made eating pleasurable. It's an evidence of his love for you. Pleasure is not necessary for survival. So if you understand how evolutionists look at the world, well, there's no explanation for music. There's no explanation for beauty. There's no explanation for art. There's no explanation for pleasurable taste, because you don't need it to survive in the survival of fittest. Everything pleasurable in life is a gift of God's love. Now, of course, whatever God gives us, any gift can be misused, any gift can be abused. But the Bible says in 1 Timothy 6:17, God richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. And did you know that when God sees you enjoying life, he goes, "That's great. I love it when they enjoy what I've made for them." God smiles when you enjoy a sunset or a warm shower or whatever. You see, so many of the things that you and I take for granted are actually just evidences of God's love. Everything in the universe expresses God's love. It's all a testimony. It's all a witness. It's all proof of God's love for you. Have you ever thanked God for the pleasures in your life? Have you ever thanked God for your own existence? Psalm 89, verse 2 says this, "I'll never quit telling the story of your love, how you built the cosmos and everything in it. And your love has always been in our lives. And then our foundation, our faithfulness has been, your faithfulness has been the roof over our world." I love that metaphor. Your faithfulness has been the roof over our world. You know, the only creatures in the entire universe that don't respond to God's love are human beings. Why? Because God gives us a choice. Birds don't get a choice. Birds sing for God. Squirrels do squirrely things for God. Worms do wormy things for God. They fulfill their purpose by instinct. But God gives us a choice. And you can miss God's purpose in your life. God has a purpose for everything he's created, but you can miss it. And that leads to Act 2. You see, Act 1 is that God made the entire universe and made you and made me because he wanted to love us. But here's Act 2. You might write this down. Act 2 in the story, the rest of the story is we walked away from God's love. And every one of us as human beings have had the choice to do that. Isaiah 53 verse 6 says this, "We're all like sheep." All of us. That means the Pope. It means you. It means me. It means the best people in the world and the worst people in the world. We're all like sheep who've wandered off and gotten lost. And we've all done our own thing and we've all gone our own way. Now, of course, the first people to do this were the first couple that God made, Adam and Eve. They were the first to walk away, to sin, to rebel against God's love and goodness. Now, I never really understood how they could reject God living in a perfect environment. You know, living in paradise with the woman you love, and there's nobody else there to bother you, and there's not even any children, and you don't even wear clothes. How do you mess that one up? I mean, Adam could say to Eve, and he's the only one who could truly say this, "Eve, you're the only woman in the world for me." There's no stress. There's no interruptions. There's no painful memories. There's no in-laws, no clothes. How do you mess that up? But they did. And God wanted to give them and wanted to give us a choice. You see, love isn't really love unless you're free to not love. And so God even allowed the choice, and he allows you to not love him. If he forced you to love him, it wouldn't be real love. God loves you. He wants you to love him back. So when God creates paradise, I mean, it's perfect. In the entire Garden of Eden, he says, you can do anything you want to in this garden. You can have as much fun in this garden. You can enjoy everything in the garden. You can eat from every single tree in the garden. But he had to give them a choice. He said, there's just one tree out of the entire lot. It's not like 10% off limits or half of the nation or half of the garden's off limits. No, he says, there's only one tree in the entire Garden of Eden in paradise. You're to not eat. And he said, don't eat from this tree. But one day, Satan comes to Eve and he tempts her. And in Genesis chapter 3, we have that story. Genesis 3, 1 to 3, Satan says to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? Now, let me stop right there. This is the first lie on planet Earth. Because God did not say you must not eat from any tree. He said you must not eat from one tree. Satan is already lying in his very first sentence. He's the father of lies. He says to Eve, did God really say you must not eat from any tree in the garden? And Eve goes, no, she corrects him. We're allowed to eat from all the trees, all of the trees. Except God said, you must not eat from the one tree in the middle of the garden, and you must not touch it or you'll die. Now, in both of this scene, Satan and Eve get it wrong. Because God didn't say don't touch it. He said don't eat from it. And God didn't say all of the trees were off limits. He only said one. It's the minimum amount of temptation. He couldn't make the temptation any smaller in the Garden of Eden, but he had to allow a choice. Then in the next couple of verses, Genesis 3, 4 to 6, Satan lies again. He goes, you're not going to die. You won't die. First he says, did God really say? He's questioning God's word. Then he says, you're not going to die. He's giving his own false truth. A lie. You won't die. Satan said, God knows that when you eat it from that tree, your eyes will be opened and you'll become just like God. Then Eve saw that the fruit looked delicious and pleasing. Okay, this is the temptation. It's attractive. And she desired what it could give her. So she took it and she ate it. And she also gave some to her husband, Adam. Now, in this story, I want you to see, this is really important. If you look at it carefully, there are four stages of walking away from God. And this pattern of the four things that Adam and Eve did, I've done. And by the way, you've done. In fact, every human being has done it over and over and over and over. It's the pattern that draws us away from God, even today, thousands of years later. I call it the path out of paradise. And path, P-A-T-H, each letter, P-A-T-H, represents one of the four steps of walking away from God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in just a moment with the rest of today's lesson. You can sign up for Pastor Rick's free email devotional at PastorRick.com. That's PastorRick.com.
If you enjoy Rick's free daily email devotional, then we are excited to let you know that he has collected a whole year's worth of his powerful devotionals and put them in a convenient, beautifully designed hardcover book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. Now you can start your day off with the Word of God right at your fingertips. The Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions book also makes a great gift for a friend or a loved one. We'll send you this great resource when you give a gift to support Daily Hope today. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource and have your financial gift matched up to $100,000. That's PastorRick.com, or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. There are only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait.
Hi, I'm Rick Warren, and Merry Christmas. Christmas is going to be here very soon. And Jesus said in Luke 14:23, go out into the highways and the countryside and urge everybody you find to come in so that my house will be full. Who are you thinking of to bring to your church? Whoever it is, I want to challenge you to be a light at Christmas and invite them to services at your church.
This is Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Once again, here's Rick.
If you've ever wondered how your life gets so messed up, and if you've ever wondered why you often feel far from God, This is how it happens. Let me explain it to you. Because you have taken this path out of paradise many, many times and in many ways. The P stands for presumption. Write that down, presumption. It always starts with doubting God's word. The first thing Satan says to Eve is, did God really say? Satan tries to get you to start questioning God's wisdom, and Satan tries to get you to start doubting God's love. I know what God has said, but I think I know better than God what'll make me happy, and I'm doubting God's wisdom, I'm doubting God's love. Did God really say, don't do this? I'm going to do it anyway. Did God really say, don't do that? I'm going to do it anyway. This has always caused this doubting, this presumption, this questioning of God's word. It's always caused by either a circumstance we don't like. Why did God allow this? Or it's caused by a command we don't particularly want to follow. And God says, I want you to do this. We go, I don't know if I want to do that or not. A circumstance I don't like or a command I don't like. And then we start saying, does God really know what's best for me? And you look at a verse and which is real clear where God says, do this or don't do this, like the Ten Commandments, the other things. Isn't that more of a suggestion rather than a command? Isn't that for somebody else in some other time? Maybe we're just interpreting it the wrong way. All of those statements are the same first temptation, the path out of paradise of presumption. We always get into trouble when we doubt either God's love or God's wisdom. Now, it's quite presumptuous to question your creator, but that always leads to step two in the path out of paradise. Step one is this presumption. Step two is arrogance. And in arrogance, Satan, the second thing he says to Eve is, you know what, when you eat this, you will become just like God. You'll become a god. And what happens is arrogance comes in, and we start acting like we know more than God. And we try to usurp God's position and authority. We say, I want to be God. I want to be the boss of my own life. I don't want God being the boss of me. I want to be the boss of my own life. Now, notice that the lure here is not to become evil, but to become your own god, which is also evil, but it sounds better. Satan doesn't say, eat this fruit and you'll be like me, evil, rebellious, wicked. Nobody wants to be wicked or, unrighteous. But God says, Satan says, no, eat this and you'll be like God. You know, an entire industry of self-help books is built on this idea. The New Age movement is built on the idea, you're a god. There's nothing New Age about the New Age. It's the old lie. In fact, it's the oldest lie on earth. That if you disobey God, you'll be a god. I heard that this very morning. I got up. We have a small TV in our bathroom. I flipped it on as I got ready to take a shower. And the guy on TV was literally saying to the audience, turn to the person next to you and say, I'm a god. Now turn to the person on your right and say, I'm a god. And then say, do you really believe that? I'm a god. You're not a god. You're not even a teeny weeny mini me god. But let me ask you a question. Do you ever try to control everything around you, including other people around you? Yes. When you try to control other people, when you act as if everything depends on you, you're playing God.
You're listening to Pastor Rick's Daily Hope. Rick will be back in a moment to close out our time together. If you enjoy Rick's free email devotional, then we are excited to let you know that for the very first time, these devotions are available in a brand new 365-day devotional hardcover book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. The Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions book makes a great gift for a friend or loved one, especially with Christmas right around the corner. We'll send you this great resource when you give a gift to support Daily Hope today. Now, we're excited to let you know that a very generous couple has stepped forward with a special $100,000 December matching grant. That means any gift you give now will be doubled up to $100,000. But the grant expires at midnight at the end of this month, so please contact us right away. Go to PastorRick.com right now to get your copy of this great resource and have your financial gift matched up to $100,000. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. There are only 2 days left to get this great study tool, so don't wait. Here's Rick to tell you more.
Let's be honest about this time of year. At the end of every year, there are so many ministries that ask for you to support them in the end-of-year giving. And you know what? We believe in every ministry that proclaims the name of Jesus, and we thank God for them, and I know it can be difficult to decide who to give to. So let me just give you some biblical foundations for giving, some simple guidelines for end-of-year giving. You might think of these three or four things. Number one, give to the ministry that God tells you to support. Go to God. Pray to Him. Ask Him. Say, God, who do you want me to support? And you know what? I support you giving to whoever God tells you to give to. And if it's not Daily Hope, I still support you to give to who God tells you to give to. So pray and ask God. Second, never give when you feel pressured. The Bible says in Corinthians that we are to never give under pressure or compulsion or under guilt. So if you ever feel guilty about giving, don't give, because God tells you in the Word not to give at that time. Give because you want to give, not out of guilt or pressure. Number three, give to where you support and believe in the goals of that particular ministry. Now, every ministry has different goals. You know the goals of Daily Hope. Our goal is ultimately to take the good news, the gospel, to the 3,000 tribes left in the world that have no Bible, no believer, and no body of Christ, no church. This is the final frontier. That's our goal. It's called the Great Commission. Now, other churches and other ministries have other goals, and that's fine. Some only have the goal of just preaching in America. There's nothing wrong with that. But if you believe in and have a heart for going to the last, the least, and the lost, this would be a ministry you should consider supporting, because I don't know others that are doing what we're doing, trying to go to these final 3,000 tribes. And then finally, give where your gift will be multiplied. For instance, at the end of every year, there is a donor to Daily Hope who offers to give a matching grant to apply to any donation that we receive before the end of the year. Now, what this means is that for every dollar you're able to give this month to Daily Hope, it's going to be doubled. That donor will match it. That multiplies your gift. Like the little boy who brought his loaves and fishes to Jesus, and Jesus fed the 5,000. If you give $25 to Daily Hope this month, the matching grant will match it at $25. If you're able to give $100, the matching grant will add another $100. That multiplies your gift. I would consider that as a factor in where to give during this month. It's your donations that make our ministry possible to people who've never heard the name of Jesus Christ. Now, let me just say this. If you can't help us financially, that's okay. I understand. But I would ask that you pray for us. I'm so grateful for those of you who are a financial supporter of this ministry, that monthly giving month after month. It means so much to me. It means much to God, but it means so much for eternity to those who are hearing the good news for the very first time. You know, I don't take any salary or any income from this ministry. I serve it for free. And so you and I are partners together in reaching people for Christ all around the world. In closing, let me just ask you to continue to pray. Pray for me as I pray for you. And pray that God's word will be taught clearly, with compassion, with clarity, with simplicity in this new year. And that it will not only help you as you listen to these broadcasts, but it will help us reach people for Christ and disciple believers and build churches all around the world, especially in the tribes that have never heard the name of Christ. Thanks for your generosity. Thanks for your prayers. And God bless you.
Thanks so much for your support. Go to PastorRick.com and have your financial gift matched up to $100,000. We'll say thanks for your gift by sending you a copy of Pastor Rick Warren's brand new hardcover book called Open Doors, A Year of Daily Devotions. That's PastorRick.com. Or you can call 800-600-5004. That's 800-600-5004. Thanks so much for your support. Be sure to join us again next time as we look into God's Word for our daily hope. This program is sponsored by Daily Hope Ministries and your generous financial support.